even though we're stuck in a time loop. This is the Bennett Brothers Podcast for the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. And I'm Jerry Bennett. Even though we're stuck in a time loop, this is the Bennett Brothers Podcast for the Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show. And I'm Jerry Bennett. Even though we're stuck in a time loop. This is, you're not going to stop.
And I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us. I wanted to give you at least a third into the next one. I'm Joel Bennett. Thank you for joining us on the Bennett Brothers Podcast, where we review everything on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, specifically in this episode, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. television show on ABC. We're going to be reviewing, spoiling, talking about, giving our opinions about, and hopefully finding some Easter eggs in the latest episode, as I have always been. We also do other things like Star Wars and things like that. You can check us out on facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Send us an email, BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter @BennettBrosPod. Go to BennettBrothersPodcast.wordpress.com to get all the aforementioned podcasts that we have ever done, and so you can catch up and join our overall arc that we've been creating ever since we started this. And that overall arc is called life. Also go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. There you will get what, Jerry?
Even though we're stuck in a pod. What? No.
Nice.
Mini casts. Those are something that are special for you as a patron of our podcast. You actually get special mini casts. We have recorded two more. They will be coming up. Promise you. They're done. They're recorded. They're good stuff. Funny, crazy stuff. Jerry and Joel's going a little bit off topic, but
wacky
within
adventures.
The world. So if you'd like to hear these special exclusives, please go to patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast and become a patron, which is only $1. $2 if you're love, you know, $2 if you're nasty, whatever that song goes. So love to have you go there and hear some of these great stuff. I don't know. So please check them out. That's just something that helps keep the lights on here and makes this actually doable for us.
And we appreciate it. Now, normally at this time, we get into the news. We really don't have much. We do have a couple things to talk about. First of all, Jerry, how are you celebrating Bugs Bunny's 80th birthday?
Stop it.
Okay, very much. I have now stopped it. Jerry has moved on from that. We also got a couple of glimpses into some new Marvel shows, maybe not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but Marvel stuff, possibly. We got to see the first 2 minutes of the New Mutants movie, which...
And another trailer.
The movie that... maybe around this year, maybe next year. Who knows?
Out,
who knows? I did not watch it. Did you?
Yes, of course I watched it. It's based on the book story that got me into the New Mutants, the very first one. So I'm very excited for it. What are you doing in there?
Nothing.
I'm hearing pops and bangs.
Yeah, that was my neck.
Ouch. I'm excited for it, even if it's not part of the universe. Apparently there's a reason it has to get a theatrical release, is rumor I'd heard. was because it was part of the deal when they bought Fox, is that would have a theatrical release, and it will also be going to some other streaming service first and not Disney Plus because of an existing agreement with either HBO or something like that, which is interesting.
Sounds like not news to me. No, just kidding. And we also get our first trailer for Hellstrom. And I know Jerry is a big fan of this comic book. I am not familiar with it, although
no, it's good.
I have since familiarized myself with it just to kind of understand.
It's very, 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 very loosely based on the comic. So loosely, it's probably not. Also, there's no Marvel name anywhere on this. It just says Hulu. It's crazy. It's so disassociated with... I guess that Marvel brand name wasn't doing enough for them.
Probably
but
not.
It's crazy how it's nothing to do with it. I'm shocked this even exists. I don't know if Jeff Loeb's attached to it or not. He got some bad press this week. We won't go into that, but not good stuff coming out of his business practices, as I've always said. But Hellstrom, I will watch it. I'll definitely watch it. Will we podcast about it? If it's not good, we technically won't have to because it doesn't have the Marvel name on it. So we have a loophole.
I know. Ooh.
I'm looking forward to the loophole. I don't want another Inhuman situation.
Gifted. At least Inhumans, like, there was always hope. It felt like there was always hope to the Inhumans, and it never... succeeded. Gifted was a slog to get through. The only other one I want to bring up, the only other trailer that came out that excited me was Bill and Ted's trailer. Yeah, man, that second trailer was even way better than the first trailer.
Did it give away too much?
What did it? No, but Kevin Smith at a Comic-Con thing gave away a little bit that I would have been happy to see it without giving it up. What's that?
I didn't watch any of that.
Yeah, I just read the blurb on it. And I was like, oh man, but that's okay. I'm really excited for the Bill and Ted's movie. It just looks like it's taking the best parts of both the movies and putting them together, which is A-OK by me. So,
excellent.
Excellent.
Right, well, before we get into our opinions on this episode, we're going to go to, again, because, again, we're attention whores. If you give us any attention, we will then in turn respond to it. Ed Pierce in our famous Get Pierced segment, or as Joel did it last week, Get Pierced.
Meow.
Don't know what was that, but it was funny. And Ed commenting on this episode, Ed watches the show, but I think he watches the show because he's friends of ours.
So thanks, Ed. And ABC thanks you as well.
His response, though, is the only thing that really bugged him about the episode was Enoch seeing the future, meaning did he know all this was going to happen? Could he have stopped it earlier? The episode was fun and moving up until that point. I responded, we don't know yet how much detail he knows of the future. If he knows the tiny details, then yes. But if he only knows that the team was never together again, then no. I hope that the writers will address this. And then his response is, they shouldn't have written that in the first place. Jenna's scream was enough. And I go, you're right. It was. I mean, it's kind of like this foreboding moment. But in the logic of it, unless the writers in the next few episodes, and we can talk about it more when we get to that part of the episode, it was just done to like, oh, this is the end. And it does open itself up to the fact that, wait a minute, does he know how everything turns out? Then why isn't he, you know, helping? So that is it's a good point. Ed actually has a good point. The other thing Ed obviously mentions here is he says it's very funny and surprisingly moving, as Enoch would say. And then, of course, it wouldn't be Ed without saying something. He hopes that Fitz does appear as a giant ghost hovering outside the ship, just like Abraham Lincoln did in Star Trek.
Are we sure Ed is not Enoch? I mean,
yes. He obviously made the comments that Coulson really didn't like being Max Headroom, and he also wanted to know how Yono, he's got his own phrase right. How did Yono get locked in the pod? And I said, you will have to listen to the podcast to find out how she got locked in, because I will be asking Joel that question.
Yes, I have answers to that. And I have answers to the other question. Fun little episode here, because it was directed by Elizabeth Henstridge, who plays Simmons. It's her first directorial debut, I should say. They have been doing this season, they have been doing with members of the cast and members of the creative team, Zoom calls that go along with the episodes that actually play during the episodes. And she's sort of been spearheading this. And so I actually watched not all of it, but a majority of the Zoom call, because she was so excited to do this episode and she was so excited to have it premiere.
Fun fact,
and
you got, she's not British.
No, she is. Well, I mean, she might not be British. She might be Irish, but, or, you know, something Welsh. I don't even know. Who knows?
Boy, did I deride you just like that.
Yeah, you did. She was super excited. It was fun to watch and watch all of her, not all of her castmates, who was on there. Coulson was on there. Sousa was on there. Deke was on there. The writer of the episode, Daisy and Enoch. So they were all there. It was a nice little box. It's like if you buy a DVD or a Blu-ray and you get the commentary. This is like getting the commentary now while you watch the episode. So that's really a fun little example of what's happening during this quarantine or this pandemic. That is a benefit, because you're getting more. You're getting more without having to go out and buy it. Anyway, she was very excited about this episode. They talked about a lot of different things, and I will mention later about the scene with Enoch at the end, seeing the future, because they do talk a little bit about that. They don't give away anything, but they do talk about that. I think my favorite part of the whole Zoom conference was they get near the end and they keep chatting, and it's a big love fest. They're constantly praising each other for the work they do.
No, you're the best. No, you're the best.
They constantly praise Elizabeth, and I think that's fair. You know, it's fun. They really, really genuinely like each other. And at one point, the actor who plays Coulson,
You mean Clark Gregg?
Clark Gregg, yep. There you go. He ducks out. He's laying in his bed, I'm assuming. And
I saw about 2 seconds.
He turns his lights off, and Deke's like, oh, it's lights out for Coulson. And he does this whole joke, and then Coulson's like, yep. And then he turns off, and they're still going, and he never comes back. He just like, and I'm done. And I thought that was so actory of him. And it was really funny, because he's just like, oh, and he's gone. Okay. We'll move forward without Clark Gregg. But it was worth the watch if you have the time. It's a long watch because it's like an hour and a half. But
is it as long as the description you just did?
Oh, yeah, it is. Really, but we'll talk about that. I just want to mention that was going on. So, Jerry, what is your initial thoughts on this episode?
This was a great episode. This was one of the best episodes of the season, if not the best, right up there. One of the best episodes of the whole show. I'm always a sucker for time loop storylines, and and Groundhog Day scenarios, and Star Trek The Next Generation has done that. So that's always really something I've enjoyed. And this one did it well, because you can screw it up and then I'm not going to enjoy it as much. And then, you know, they also did a few things in here I can comment about later where I was like, oh, I was one of those things where I was always hoping a time loop would do that. And this one did. So awesome.
Yes, they definitely added some of the rules to the time loop that I've never seen before, and I enjoy that. Because also Jerry mentioned a bunch of movies. Edge of Tomorrow is another one of those great time loop movies that are, for some reason, so rewatchable. I don't know why time loops are so rewatchable, but
if
something about
them. Well,
can you think of ones that are done poorly? I mean, they're just not memorable if they're done poorly.
I guess. Yeah. I mean,
there's a Doctor Who one like that, or
There's definitely yes, there is, and there's also to a certain degree, Back to the Future 2 is doing that because it's going back to a certain area and
we're
seeing
it again.
Well,
that's amazing. They do a great job with it. I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't say that was a bad scenario.
No, as a nerd, and I know you're a nerd, and probably if you're listening, you're a nerd. We love time loops. Nerds love time loops. And this episode, I think, is at like a 9.7 on IMDb after it's been out for a long time.
It's a scale of 1 to 100, so it's not as big.
Well,
as
I mean, most, I mean, 9.7, that's in the top 100 TV shows episodes of all time, if not the top like 20 TV episodes. I mean, they get voted down just out of spite. And this one is just hanging up there, which is great. Is it the best episode of the series? It's up there. It's right up there with Mavith, that episode. Which is where Simmons is trapped on the planet. I really enjoyed that episode a lot. Is this up there with your... As you said, it is.
Yeah, it definitely is one of the best of the show, one of the best of the season, for sure. Maybe the best of the season, and one of the best... You know, it's definitely within top five, if not higher than that. It was that good.
Yeah.
I loved it.
All right, well, let's get in here and see why we liked it so much. See if there's anything
as
we didn't like
I
or they can improve
always
on.
Been.
Because that's what we do. So we start the episode, Daisy's waking up in the... First of all, we get the previously on, and the previously on is very important if you weren't paying attention to these previous episodes, because it does show one thing that's of note, and that is it shows Daisy getting into the healing pod and Coulson being shut down, which is very important in this episode because they're the only ones who get through this time loop. So Daisy wakes up in the healing pod. Sousa is sleeping there next to her. Which is going to come into play later. This is going to be an interesting one for me to go through because it's not based on scenes. It's based on jumps. We find out the time drive has overloaded, and that is what's caused it to go into its jump again, like we saw at the end of last episode. It didn't work.
We get to see a shot outside as they're heading towards heaven.
Yes, they're heading towards a vortex, and this is where we get the opening credits very nicely done.
No, I've written down here, boring title. It's like, oh, what? Now I'll
oh,
eat
it is
crow,
a boring
I'll
title,
eat crow
yeah.
with that in about 30 seconds, but I was like, oh, this is, oh, well, after having all these incredible titles, it's like, all right, there it is. It's fine. I wrote down boring, and then the next thing you know, we got, you know, Yono, or just Yo, as I read her. She's going to go check it out.
Yeah,
and
so
I wasn't sure what she was checking out until later when we
see
it.
Yeah, so the Quinjet. When they suffered whatever the jump was, it knocked the Quinjet out of commission. And she's trying to figure out what's going on inside. She's technically not trapped inside yet. But she will be trapped inside shortly, and we will answer Pierce's question.
Deke says we're trapped in a time storm.
Yes, but he also calls Sousa Bugsy, which
I've got
enjoy.
That right now too.
Yes, they are trapped inside a time storm. They're trapped inside a jump within a jump, and the vortex is pulling them in, and if it does pull them in, they're not just going to disappear, they're going to cease to have ever existed, they're going to turn to the size of an atom, and he doesn't know what the rules are with that, and I thought that was interesting, because I thought that's where this episode was going, did you? Like, I thought they were going to be like,
no, I
and we're going into the
microverse?
The microverse from Ant-Man, and that changes everything.
No, I never really thought that because I'm like, they're going to get out of this. So I never.
Well, of course they're going to get out of it, but I didn't
know.
Well, no,
your scenario was they wouldn't get out of it, and then that next episode they'd be, you know, little tiny creatures.
Well, they might. They could have been tiny creatures this episode, though, is what I'm saying. I didn't know where they were going with this episode when I first saw it.
But then Mac gets blinded by the light.
Yeah, we find also, I want to point this out because I'm going to be mentioning this, we're 94 kilometers away from the vortex.
I have a lot of different numbers written down.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, do you think each time loop is a full kilometer?
No, it is not. Well, it might be, but
yeah, because I mean, if it was, then
it,
we'd be
well,
like,
it's not according to this to where we're at right now. And I'll because okay. The next one, once they jump here, they come back and it's 91 kilometers away. So unless she had three jumps in there we didn't see, they somehow magically disappeared. The other ones that we don't see make sense. This one does not make sense.
And at this point, I should have. I did not put together the fact that, oh, they're going to get down to 1 kilometer at the end. I should have, knowing story tropes, but I was like, oh. And that comes into play at a certain point in this episode.
So Mac gets blinded, and if they would have continued on with the scenario, he he would have been blinded, and he would have had the nice like scar over his face like Gordon. So that would have been exciting to see.
Or like Dark, the German Netflix show. The kids. You know what I'm speaking of.
Yes. I'm yes. Okay.
His eyes get all burned out.
Yes.
Stay tuned for the Bennett Brothers podcast on the Dark.
I'm sure there's people who want to hear us do a podcast.
Joel, we were talking about time loops.
Yeah.
I think that is the ultimate. If you're into time loops, go watch Dark. 3 seasons, 26 episodes. You will understand about time loops. Oh, my God.
That's a great example. That's so funny that we didn't even mention it when we started. Simmons opens a drawer, and inside the drawer, she like freezes as she looks in. She sees cologne, Deke's awful 80s cologne, a Rubik's Cube, a popular mechanics magazine. Why does she freeze when she looks into the drawer?
I don't know.
I think it's because, she sees the device in there that'll stop her, will be able to extract her implant. We go to our first jump, so we jump back.
We find out the door is locked on the Quinjet also.
Yes, this is where we find out that she's locked. Yo-Yo is locked in the Quinjet, basically nerfing her for a while in this episode.
So we restart again with Daisy, and she does remember this, and then, as I said before, the titles repeat, which I thought was really funny.
Really brilliant, because it's an unnecessary thing, and I don't know if Elizabeth had something to say in that, or if it was the writer, because the writer, I can't remember the writer's name off the top of my head. Whoever thought of it, I thought it was a brilliant way to start the episode, showing us that the credits are rolling again. So we find out we're in a time loop. We're 91 kilometers away. Daisy's walking around knowing everything that's going to happen. She stops Mac from getting blinded. We go through another jump. This time she gets out of the pod. She actually doesn't wake Sousa this time. She tiptoes out, and then she's figuring out she goes right to Coulson. And she wakes up Coulson, and he is angry. Coulson is very angry throughout this episode, and I like it. And he's asking how long did it take her to figure it out this time. This was a shock to me. I didn't even think this. I thought this was the first time, but it was not. She has died. Every time she dies, she forgets what happened, which is a brilliant, brilliant idea.
That's the part that I was enjoying, the fact that something that Live, Die, and Repeat kind of deals with, and when I say, I mean The Edge of Tomorrow.
When he dies, he remembers everything.
I know.
He has to
die. It's that, yes, yeah. It was, but it's the way they deal with it and how they go. There's a segment coming up here where they deal with the fact that they have to, like, once she dies, we're going to burn
more time.
14 kilometers.
Well, yeah, she's died 14 times, and they've already have gone through, Coulson has already talked to her and explained everything 87 times. At least, they've woken up and gone through the loop at least 87 times, because he's pissed, because he's like, sometimes you just don't even wake me up like she does later on. Like,
yeah. And also in this one, it's obviously Daisy. Well, I'm not sure if it was this one or the next one. You know, Daisy thinks she's time looping, and at one point she goes to deal with the fire again. And I was like, why are you dealing with the fire? Don't worry about the fire. It's just going to eat up more of your time.
It was this one.
She starts over, and she doesn't want to wake Sousa up. You know, you see that her shoes are untied. And I didn't catch, I'm like, why did they show us that? But I guess that was to show that she's not wasting the time to tie her shoes, because she does that again in the future. But I was lost the first time. I'm like, why aren't we, what's the
significance
of her shoes?
Eventually they're going to hang her, Jerry.
Okay.
That's why.
Bootstraps.
So we go to another jump, and then she goes back to Coulson to talk some more. We don't get that far. We jump again. Hopefully Jerry's putting effects on these every time we do it.
No.
Daisy talks to Coulson. They can't fly out. They are now on 90 loops, and then we jump again.
They can't loop forever.
Yes. Yes, because Coulson mentions that the numbers, he's like, you don't know about the numbers? Oh, you're really behind. And then we jump again. And then we have 79 kilometers
to the vortex
are left. Each loop brings the Zephyr closer to destruction, is what we find out.
Daisy,
and then
tells
we
the team
jump again.
At 65 kilometers at a certain point.
Yes, she tries to get the help from the others, and I like this moment here where Deke goes off. He's like, "I'm gonna try to figure something out." He goes off secretly to talk to Simmons. about removing the memory blocker because he thinks that's going to help. Daisy and Coulson were there, though.
They hear about it. They find out about it.
They're like, this is dire. We need to know about this. And Daisy and Simmons do a little trick here where she tries to guess what she's going to say, and it's phlebotinum. Jerry, what does phlebotinum mean?
I don't care.
It actually means something with time. There's actually a whole thing behind it. I read it. I didn't write it down.
What are you asking me for if you don't know the answer?
I thought maybe you wrote it down. Okay, I was hoping you did the homework.
Not on that.
But they know. So this is how Simmons knows Daisy's telling the truth here. And so they're going to remove the implant. Jerry, why is Simmons in a room by herself removing the implant?
The first time, I don't know why, but for some reason, when she's in there, she dies.
Yes, she dies.
Can't breathe and dies while trying to remove the implant. So then they do
I want
to
say
one.
That as I watched this the second time, I kept a closer eye on Enoch, and he shows no signs of anything. Mm-hmm. So you weren't missing anything if you like catching any signs or clues that it was Enoch. He does not show any signs or clues.
So here we go to the next sequence, and obviously this time Gemma is in there with Daisy, yep. And the gas kills both of them. They realize what it is. Coulson forgets he's super strong and doesn't break down the door because he could have.
It's true, or Sousa could have kicked down the door with a super strong leg now. We'll talk about
but
that
because
a little
bit. This is
the part Enoch goes in, too. He goes, the door is locked, and he can't break it open either.
Oh, we see how strong he is, though. That's baloney.
Yeah. Coulson, I like how Coulson at the end here, and he's like, what a pain in the ass, and that gets mentioned
and
later.
He's got to go through it all again. They have to explain it to her. Now, luckily, they just give us a hint of that.
Yes.
But I love that. At the end of this, we're 48 kilometers away.
Well,
we do see her tie her shoes. Before
you jump, when we're still back at the other one where Daisy and Simmons died, Enoch goes in. It's like they find out it was gas, and Enoch's like, it was deliberate. Someone cut it.
Who do you think did it at this point?
I was leaning towards Enoch.
Okay, I didn't really.
I mean, but to be honest, I wasn't. I was just going along for the ride. But I was leaning towards Enoch because I was like, I don't think it was Simmons and Deke. I don't know why Deke would do it. And then Enoch kind of made sense to me, but I didn't know. So we jump. Like Jerry said, we're in 48 kilometers. Daisy has to relearn the loop all over again. Then we jump again, and then Coulson explains everything again. They're 41 kilometers now.
We also now have three suspects, Gemma, Deke, and Enoch.
Because they're the only ones who know about the memory implant.
Coulson talks with Mac and May, and he suggests using Yo. And so they free Yo.
Yeah, I like the idea here that Coulson, they're like, maybe they were brainwashed or maybe they were replaced by a Chromacon. And May's like, yeah, that's happened before. And I think that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mac says maybe use Yo-Yo. They do a jump and we see Coulson trying to free Yo-Yo and he cuts her out of there. She gets out and it's too late. So they obviously went in after, he went to free her after, because he had to be woken up and then go get her. And that was not enough time for him to get to the door to let her out. Because she can get out, but eventually the door gets jammed when the sparks go off. I believe it's when the sparks go off or something like that.
Yes.
We'll talk about that.
We are talking about
it. We jump. We'll talk about it a little bit later. We jump. Daisy then has a conversation with Sousa, which she's going to have more of. He mentions he enjoyed his SSR day. She's like, why do you trust me?
Why are you macking on me, yo? Not that yo.
Daisy goes to get the scanner out of the drawer this time, but then she's like, this could be booby-trapped.
Well, he's smart about this.
He's like, if you die here, then we have to redo this all over again.
This is what I'm talking about, the brilliance of like they're acknowledging the fact like if she dies, there's 48 more loops or however many loops it takes to get through that. I love that. I love that he's like, in fact, as we get going here and we have episodes when they're all getting beat up by Enoch, I'm like, is she dying in any of these? Because if she dies, they got to do it again. And so
not that we saw, but...
Well, yeah, exactly.
So Sousa actually grabs the scanner and actually kills him. It's booby-trapped. We jump again. Daisy is feeling emotions for Sousa here. I like this. Coulson is getting more and more pissed as the episode's going on because his team is dying.
Too.
I enjoyed that.
He says it's soul-crushing.
Well, he doesn't even know if he has a soul. He's like, do I even have a soul? He was Max. He hated being
Max
Hedrum for a
year. I was Max Hedrum for a year.
Well, you get in the weird complexity of soul, but it's like... Yeah. But what about Sousa when he died? Did he die? What about his soul when he died? And then we time jumped and it's back. What about the soul of the death of? Yeah. Woo, wibbly wobbly. Don't
what
think
is about
that.
The soul of the transporter on Star Trek if it kills the version there and brings a new one back here?
I do like this. So this is sort of a meta thing from previous episodes. Coulson is getting worried, because this is, he's getting worried about the idea that as he gets older, as time progresses, if they get out of this, he's still going to be seeing all of his friends die, and he's going to be staying the same. And this is an idea that Sybil planted in his head, and we could see it coming to play here. And I think this is something that's going to come into play even more as the season plays out. And then as Coulson's talking, he figures out that it is Enoch who is sabotaging everything. They go and talk to Simmons. They confront Enoch about this. His programming kicks in. They don't talk to Simmons, I'm sorry. They go to Enoch. His programming kicks in, and he attacks Daisy, who Daisy ends up using her Quake powers to shoot him back. And this is when Enoch's like, oh, dear. And that's when they jump again. So this time Daisy wakes up Susa. And Daisy and Coulson, they go and they go to try to get the implant out without Enoch knowing. But Enoch comes in anyways, because they forget that Enoch's first visit of the day is to go see Simmons, or mm-hmm. first visit. And then we jump again. This time Enoch is going to get distracted by Susa,
who does a terrible job.
Oh, he does a terrible job. And then
It's like, hey, listen, I need you to come over. You know, like, come on. But it doesn't work.
Yeah, so it doesn't work. And he shows up and beats everyone up again. They fail. And then we jump again. This time, Daisy and Coulson confront Enoch, and then we cut to the scene where they're both beaten up against a motorcycle.
Yeah, I wrote down here, password counteract doesn't work.
Yeah, so we jump again. This is when we have Daisy, Coulson, and Simmons this time, and then they fail.
Oh,
and
yeah,
that was when Simmons was like, I should have known it was going to be password protected. Yeah. We jump again.
The whole team.
Now we bring in the whole team.
This is a dark joke here.
Yeah, we cut to the scene. Everyone's beaten up. Deke is dead. I thought the scene was great. Now this is going to bring in a problem for me, because we had showed previously in the season that May can beat up Enoch. And Enoch, even though he's upgraded to a hunter status, we've seen that. Now, I can't imagine that Enoch is able to beat up Quake and May and Susa with his bionic leg. And I don't know if Yo-Yo is in the scene.
Maybe it has something to do with, like, she's not blasting him full power because she doesn't want to. It's like a friend. How do you do that? Even though they treated him terribly,
sure.
I think. But, yeah.
I don't know if Yo-Yo's in this scene. I don't remember. I don't recall. I know she's in a later scene where she fights him, or she's going to fight them. We don't see it. But Enoch can't beat Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo is the strongest member. Yo-Yo's the strongest member on the team now. So, but I thought it was a great scene. I thought it was a great little. Yeah, it's very dark. Deke is just lying there dead. But I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. We do the jump again. This time, Daisy wakes up Susa, and then she's like, I can take a loop.
No, she really couldn't. I mean, she came down to the last one.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought about at this moment. Like, you can waste a loop. And that's when it dawned on me, like, oh, they're going to get down to, like, when it's a 007 is undoing a counter, like, a counter, and it stops at 007 or 001. That's the end. That's how it always is.
Exactly. I enjoyed the scene, though. Daisy's like, why are you always there for me? You know, you wake up, and he's like, I'm there for the people I want to be there for that put their lives out
there. Her type of people, like Peggy Carter.
Yeah, I like this moment. This is, you know, this is a nice moment they have. This doesn't feel as forced as, you know, we got the force of Coulson and May. That one still doesn't seem right to me. Still seems forced. But this relationship is actually moving in a nice direction. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
We've had experiences with both of these characters in different shows, and so they're both, especially Susa, we wanted him to find love and everything, so he's finding it here with the character, and we're like, I understand what you're saying about it could seem like it was forced and fast. The thing was we always talked about, like, with the May and Coulson, it wasn't so it was like happening fast in the
there was no
respect
signs
that,
of it.
That yes, exactly. They were good friends, and there was no hint until season end of 3, maybe 4, before it actually started to be like, oh yeah, them star-crossed lovers. It never
was
there.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, with Daisy, we've gone through a ton of relationships. Ward didn't end so well. Lincoln didn't end so well. She's had moments on the show of romance, and you know, it's nice to maybe see her come out of this. Maybe she will. We don't know where her character is going, but I like this. So Susa, he goes and talks to Simmons this time. It's different. He's going to go and talk to her. Enoch overhears. And then Mac.
It's a double bluff.
Yeah, Mac, May, Yo-Yo, who they somehow get. She must go right to Yo-Yo and get her out of the thing before the door ends up locking. Because there's Mac, May, Yo-Yo, Susa. They trap Enoch.
I think Quake would be also should be in there. She's pretty strong, but for some reason she's not.
Well, she goes to go with Simmons. Because she needs to know what's going on. And plus, Daisy can't risk herself.
That's true. Good point.
But they do it, and they took too long. And then Coulson's like, we got to do it faster.
I have written down here, kisses Sousa.
Yep. This is, so it jumps, and this is when Daisy walks up and just kisses Sousa.
11 kilometers.
We have
kilometers.
11 kilometers. Thank you. They trap Enoch again with the group, and Daisy pulls out the implant, which I enjoyed this. Instead of like showing like the thing going into her head, they showed a graphic of it. Like you show the skeletal thing, so you just make a computer graphic out of it. And I thought that worked perfectly.
We find out that Enoch is the key.
Yes, because he has electrocom displacement mechanism. I thought it was electrical. It's electrocom, because they say it a couple times.
Yeah, I have it written down, electrocom displacement mechanism. Yeah.
And that's what
it will kill him.
That's what they use. That's what they can use to save them. Yep, but it will kill him. And then Simmons starts to cry because of something else. She
Fitz
remembers.
Is already dead. That's why.
Yeah, maybe. Here's my thought, and this is going out there, and I'm. This is maybe going off of a Twitter thing posted last year. I think she's remembering the snap. Now, hear me out with this. There was a visual effects, the visual effects supervisor or director or the main visual effects guy. Someone tweeted like, "Are you ever going to deal with the snap?" He's like, "Not this year. Maybe next season." He could have been saying that in jest because they didn't know if they had a seventh season yet.
Absolutely.
But there is a thought that maybe they're going to deal with the snap in some way, and Fitz was snapped out of existence or something to along that.
If
or,
that happened, but, I would but be she's, super impressed.
But she's crying immensely in this scene, and yeah, it could be Fitz dying. But I'm wondering if she's crying immensely because she knows about the snap and all the people that died in the world with the snap or the universe.
That would impress me.
I think so too. And
did
I don't.
They
I don't,
didn't even acknowledge Thanos' ship though coming last year. Did
they acknowledged it. They acknowledged Thanos' ship.
They did acknowledge it. That's right. And then there was another.
Yes. The Kree mentioned Thanos' ship, so he exists in this universe and exists.
Yeah, and then all that time period happened. So, and I guess you know theoretically, they left this time frame. And so they're in the past, so they wouldn't get affected by the snap, which I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this could work in that respect. Maybe they went back and realized that they
Daisy and Fitz were around for a while because they had to develop the ship and do all the stuff what we don't know about
Daisy
yet.
Daisy and Fitz?
I'm sorry, Simmons and Fitz.
Yeah.
Fitz Simmons. Yes. So that's my thought. I don't know if it's going to come to fruition.
It'd be great.
But it would be great. And then we jump again.
Final loop.
Yeah, so Daisy walks onto the bridge.
She says everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, the music changes here. I like the music change.
Less than 1 kilometer. Yeah.
I like how they're showing that. And this started with Sousa, but this happened throughout the episode. When she walks in and says something, for the most part, everyone sort of just trusts her implicitly. And I like that. I know Simmons has the thing where, like, I don't believe you. I'm going to say this word. And then they match words. But I love, like, she walks on there, Mac and May. They're just like, okay. We believe you. Whatever you need to do, do it. And I like that. So Enoch, they start arguing about
the electrocom displacement mechanism.
Yeah, and Enoch just pulls it out. He's like,
it doesn't, there's no sparks or anything. It just kind of pop.
He just pulls it out, and I like that. And he's like, I like to think that Fitz would do the same for me. I'd like to think any of you.
Fitz and the rest would do the same thing. And they're all kind of like, yeah, maybe.
They're like, after we left you on the planet for 40 years by yourself.
I'm realizing I am completely alone.
Oh, yeah, he does say that earlier in those episodes.
Yeah.
That's right. Well done. Well, good callback.
Deke is now working on the drive.
Yeah, he gets it working. And yes. It's a nice fit, he says, like, because Simmons had designed it so they could use Enoch's thing if it ever came to that. So that was really smart. I like that.
So Daisy and Coulson are staying with Enoch.
Enoch.
Enoch, because he's feeling anxiety.
Yeah, they're having this moment with Coulson and Daisy are the ones to stay there. And it was interesting listening to the after show, I'll call it, where they were talking, Enoch, Joel, the actor who plays him, he was like, you know, it was nice to be in this scene with like the two real hearts of the show, like the two main who have been on the show forever. I know obviously Simmons and Fitz have been there and May have been there as well. But this was like, yeah, it's Daisy and Coulson, like these are the ones. And he got to have his goodbye moment with them. And he was very happy he got the goodbye moment, the actor, because you don't usually get that. And I thought this scene was amazing. I like the line when Coulson says, you know, dying is lonely, but the feeling is temporary.
Yep, I wrote that down.
And I really, really, really enjoyed that line. Now, I know Enoch mentioned, he's like, you know, you're lonely up until the end, but like, you're not lonely up until the end, and then what happens? And that's what Coulson said, because he's died a bunch of times, and I thought that was really good.
Find out that the friends will survive, but the team will not.
Yes.
That's what Ed Pierce's question was in regards to that.
He's able to see the future because of what he's going through. Now, like I said, this is their last mission. Now, they had mentioned the actors were blown away that they gave this that Enoch says this line. And I don't know why the actors are blown away by that, but they had mentioned it's the most important thing for the rest of the season. It's going to drive the rest of the season.
Well, also his friends will survive, so no one's going to die, theoretically, unless they're already dead.
Daisy is an interesting one because he says all your friends will survive, but the team won't. We don't know what's going to happen to Daisy, yes. So that's one of those things that who knows? Daisy could cease to exist. Who knows?
So, you know,
and the team might not exist. The team could form into Shield, or I'm sorry, Sword. We don't know. That's always a possibility.
So he says Fitz was his best friend, which was sad that Fitz wasn't there. Although, again, because of time travel, they could easily run into Enoch again.
And because of he's a robot. Like
as I wrote down here, is like, too bad they can't just grab the device and put it back in him.
Or too bad they can't make an LMD out of Enoch.
Yeah, well, he's advanced technology in his brain and how it works, whatever. That's fine.
They could always bring him back, but I do think this is
his last words are, as I have always.
Yes, and then they make a jump.
Ben, he doesn't say. So I'm realizing now, because I had to watch it like twice and put the subtitles on because it was hard to understand what he says. Mm-hmm. So he says, as I have always, and now I'm realizing that was the title of the episode, As I Have Always Been. So is that a phrase he says a lot? As I have always been.
I am your friend as I've always been.
I guess it is.
I think he does say that numerous times.
Not enough that I was able to recognize it.
We get another jump, but it is a successful one because Max, like, we've successfully jumped. And this is the end of Enoch. And I like to think it is the end of Enoch. I don't think we're going to see him again in this show.
And they did something here also, which they've done in a previous episode, is there is no Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will return. At the end.
Oh, I wouldn't even know that because on Hulu we don't have that.
Well, they always do that, and except for the episodes when they've had characters die, they have not done it.
Yeah, so we get a major death. The last major death we had.
He's a major cast member from season 5 on.
Yeah, last major death we had was Davis. Yeah, so this was he got a great death, I thought. It was very emotional.
Who's Davis married to?
Davis is married to Zha Ying, the actress who plays Zha Ying.
Okay. The button.
So I just want to point out with the Enoch death, though, real fast before I want to put a little bit of a bow on this and just say, you know, I thought we lost him earlier in the season. I thought they were just going to leave him behind and he was going to have his moment with
the guy at the bar he was talking to, give him a drink.
No. I thought the end of Enoch was going to be when he was with, holy smokes, who has the grandfather of all the twins, the clones or whatever you want to call them. Patton Oswalt's character. Mm. I thought that was going to be the end of Enoch. And I mentioned that in the podcast. I was like, oh, what a way to go out. I thought Enoch was going to be on the show longer. And they gave Enoch a fitting send-off here.
They actually were very fitting. I think it was the right choice now. So their first name, I think that they had gone with their original title, it would have given it away because the original title was called Death Comes A-Knocking.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, and now we get to the button.
You see, because his name is not Enoch.
Moving on.
Yeah. Hello, it must be Death.
We go to the button and we see Nathaniel. He's coaching Korra on how to use her powers, and she's zapping champagne glasses.
She feels power, and she likes it.
Yes.
Not a great button.
Not a great button, and these villains, if this is going to be our end-all villains, I don't know how great they are. I mean, we've had some great villains on this show.
Please don't.
I'm not going to, but this is not right now. Nathaniel is not one of the great villains.
Not yet, no.
And I don't know if he will be, but we'll find out. And so that is the end of the episode. And Jerry, did it change your opinion?
No, it's a solid episode. It's right where I thought it was.
Yeah, this is a damn fine episode. A great episode of television, and I hope the rest of these episodes, I don't know if they're going to keep being as strong as this or if they're going to, any of them are going to drop down to Deke Squad level, but we only have a couple episodes left. I think we're down to 4 or 5. 4, I believe. Either way, we're in for a treat. I'm excited, and we're going to bring you the last couple episodes the best we can with all the information we can.
Yeah, it's going to be a little tricky, too. Your schedule is going to make
yes. Well, you're probably going to get an episode, probably one episode where I will be. We'll be broadcasting live from the hospital.
It'll probably be the finale. We have to figure out the best way to record that.
Yeah, well, it'll probably be me over the phone with a headset on, so it's not going to be as great of audio, but
well, I was thinking about that. We can always have you do that, but then record your stuff on your phone and then send me the audio file, and I can sync them together.
Well, we'll see how I'm feeling at that point.
All right, then.
But yeah, so we got. But I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be exciting.
All right, I am too. Thank you for listening. This was a good one. It makes me hopeful for the rest of the season. That one stumble we had two episodes ago, I think, is hopefully all we'll have to deal with. Let's find out and join us next week. Until then, I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.